series to talk about the real things here on the Casual Hour now.
If we try.
We can make it if we try. What is the best holiday sweet?
Holiday sweet.
Like it could be like cake, pie, cookies, candy. Like there's a lot of different things that people make around the holidays. What is your favorite holiday sweet? Do you have a traditional one?
So I guess it's not really a traditional one. We have a family friend who makes a bunch of cookies and cookies of all kinds. And she ends up giving a bag to my parents and she gives a bag to me, which my parents have to deliver me because I don't see the family friend all that often. But she makes some great cookies. I mean, there's sugar cookies and chocolate chip and whatever, but she makes one kind of cookie that is absolutely incredible. And I'm trying to remember the name. They are called molasses bars.
Okay.
And they are just some of the best things ever. They're like long and they're so good. She puts raisins in them, so like you get like I know raisins aren't everybody.
Yeah, I was like, you had me for a second there.
I was like, you get like this really brown sugary great molasses flavor, and then you just like get this little extra chew when you hit to a raisin. And it's like, oh, these things are so fucking good. Damn. And I kind of just want to tell her, like, hey, thank you so much for these free cookies that you give me every year. Can you just give me molasses bars? like the sugar cookies are fine, but like, I would replace those. could you just do the thing you're awesome?
Yeah. I think that recently Sarah and I found something called a Santa cookie that has become like a late in life favorite, but I grew up with a very simple peanut butter cookie rolled in sugar with the Hershey Kiss on it.
Sure. Like
that was
classic. Yeah.
That's what we had growing up. I will forever think about my mom and that cookie. But this Santa cookie that Sarah and I have been making, it's like a, you know, the base is kind of like a chocolate chip cookie, but you add in a packet of vanilla pudding to the mix, like the flour mix.
Yeah.
And then white chocolate, milk chocolate, and M&Ms go into that cookie. And you make it to where it's just like a little bit of dough around a bunch of candy pieces. And holy shit, man, that cookie's been awesome.
That sounds pretty good.
Yep. Also, go ahead.
I'll tell you another one. This one's very
selfish. Oh, you just killed a fantastic segue.
I'm sorry. But
it was so good.
Since you brought up the idea, I have to make my play while I can. Was it last year? It was last year. Your wife made me some apple bread.
It's so good.
Which was one of the best things I've ever tasted.
Yep.
And I think I told you both that I have this apple tree in my backyard and I'm going to bring you all these fucking apples. And then these fucking squirrels ate all my goddamn apples. Dude,
try having two pecan trees in your backyard.
It's rough. It's rough.
But speaking of squirrels.
So you tell me what I need to do. I can go and buy some apples. Yeah.
Buy some apples and let them get a little bad. Not terribly bad, but soft.
Whatever I can do to convince your wife to maybe make some of that bread for me again, I will do whatever.
You dangle a soft apple at my wife, she's going to make it into bread.
All right. Not exactly what I was going for, but sure. I'm sorry. Please forget everything that I said and say your cool segue and we'll act as if it just happened.
You said something about being good and I go, hey, you know what else is good? Johnny's not here. I love the whole new year, new me, but it's here we are, first episode of the year, and guess who decided to fucking call in sick?
You know, some people are still on holiday time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Johnny, I could say, hey, Johnny, how's your day going? And you all get the same response here. So you can imagine he's here or you can believe he's not. It's going to be the same thing for you either way. But tonight is episode 358. It is our first episode of the year, and we have to tell you about all the games coming out. We're sorry that it's a few days into the year, but hey, we were on holiday. So we've got a lot to go over tonight. We've got an update on a ROM hack, and we've got an update on a game we tried to stream for you on Monday night. So we've got some cool stuff there. We're going to tell you about the games that we picked in December. We're going to tell you what games you should play this month, and we're going to tell you about the other ones that maybe you could play if you don't like good advice. So we're going to get into it. It is January 3rd, 2024, episode 358, The Bobby and Chase Show. Chase, I would love for you to tell me what you've been playing.
Yeah. First things first, I do want to mention, it's not something I've been playing, but something that I've been watching that I think other people should be watching as well. And that is Pokemon Concierge.
I need to watch that.
You do. It's short. It's four, like, 15-minute episodes. It doesn't take very long at all. It's all on Netflix. It is a stop-motion animated
Pokemon gorgeous
show. It is beautiful. It's got a fantastic theme song. It's just great.
It's got Animal Crossing energy, right?
Sure. Yeah. It's got that vibe. It's very cozy.
Yeah. They know what they were doing.
Absolutely. I think the Pokemon they choose are fun. Like, there's an episode where, like, a bunch of Pikachu show up. So, like, there's some obvious ones. There's a Bulbasaur in there. But then there also are, you know, there's like a Wooper in there. Yeah, I like Wooper. Wooper's a great Pokemon. Dragonite shows up, and I like a Dragonite. There's a Graveler episode, or a Graveler's part in there. I think Graveler's kind of cool. So they make some good Pokemon in there. There's a lot of really cool details. There's also a 4-minute YouTube behind the scenes video that's out there that I think is really cool. And they talk a little bit about all of the little decorations that they made. Like, there's a shower curtain that has a Quagsire design in it, and I'm like, you need to just make that and sell that. I would love that. Shit. You need to make that. There's like a lattice kind of thing that some of the squares have. Some of the squares are open, and then some of them have little shapes inside, and the little shapes are all like little cutouts of Pokemon. Like, oh, that's a Mantine, and oh, that's a Blastoise, and they're things that you see for maybe half a second in the show, but it's all just so incredibly lovingly crafted. It's of the best Pokemon things they've made for a while, and I'm including video games in there.
I just want them to do something bombastic with style. Like, I think this, I've seen some really cool, I think there's somebody making like an actual playable Pokemon that looks, it's like Gen 1, but it looks like a water painting almost.
Yeah, that original Kensuke Warrior art.
It looks like, make that video game. Do something like that. Like, they should. Make this into it. Like, if they can do that shit with Yoshi, make it a standalone. Dude, I had a brilliant idea today for like a CRPG with Pokemon.
Okay.
Like, give me like a Baldur's Gate style game where you have just a limited selection of Pokemon that all come into play that way. You could be a trainer, and it is a CRPG, story heavy, but you have the turn-based stuff, so you can still do a lot of that mechanic into that. Mm-hmm. But the placement of Pokemon around there, having environmental stuff, using that to the degree, that would be fucking rad. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it on the podcast before, but Pokemon and it's not exactly what you're looking for, but Pokemon Conquest on the DS is a turn-based strategy game with using Pokemon. That plays it very differently, and it's got some issues. It's got some kind of repetitive stuff, especially near the end. That's a kind of a bummer. But that game is an interesting take on Pokemon in a way they haven't done before or since, honestly.
Or hear me out. Get really fucking weird with it.
Yeah.
Pokemon Monster Hunter.
I mean, I don't want that. But
you don't want that.
I understand.
I'm saying, like, imagine like a fucking brutal fight. Like, make it all legendaries if you have to.
We're not carving Charizard tails, Bobby. It's
yeah, we are. How do you think those stadium brats get made? But anyway, that's a whole deep dive.
So definitely watch Pokemon Concierge. It's excellent. Watch it however you can. I've also been playing a Pokemon game. It's just kind of chill and easy to play all over the break. I was just kind of watching stuff on my laptop. I didn't want to play stuff on the TV. I just kind of wanted to hang out with my analog pocket and play some stuff. So I picked up a Pokemon ROM hack that I've had for a while. I think I even started it at one point and then put it down. It's super expensive, and again, they're not even sold in the first few towns, so you only get a couple that you find in the world. So it's just it's like a weird balance thing. So it's really forcing you to go into the Safari Zone and just find a bunch of stuff. But that also means when you come out of that first town, everybody's probably going to have around the same set of Pokemon. Maybe they switch out a type for a type, but you're generally just going to, like, that's going to be your six. And sure, you could swap them out later, but they've already given you a pretty solid team of six to start with. So what are you doing? They also just give you a bunch of free starters in every city. They're like, oh, hey, do you want a Charmander or a Squirtle or a Bulbasaur? And then it's like, oh, do you want a Piplup or a Chimchar? I'm like, man, you're giving me a lot of freebies. This feels a little bit weird. So it's one of those things where you kind of see how they change and tweak things, and you go, oh, that's an interesting idea, or oh, that actually doesn't work like you wanted it to work. And I think overall it's a little bit disappointing. I think there are ROM hacks that do it way better.
Right. Right.
This one also has the problem of it just tries to throw too much in there. Like not only is it throwing all the
stuff. I kind of felt like that would be games like this. If they don't have any rules and regulation, why the fuck not? Make it as big as you want.
Yeah. And the whole thing revolves around Arceus basically stopping fights with every single legendary pair they can find.
Right.
So at one point, like, oh, here's Groudon and Kyogre, and they're fighting. And then Arceus comes in and goes, ah, shut the fuck up. And now Dialga and Palkia are here. And he goes, ah, stop that too. And then it's Zekrom and Reshiram. And I was like, can you just like chill and focus on a thing? And also Red and Ash Ketchum and Gold and Diamond. It's like they found everybody from previous games and like, ah, what if they were all your rivals? So
everybody hates you.
You're in constant rival fights basically every time you go somewhere. Some of the routes are super long, where it's a big long route and then a big long cave and then another big long route when you get out of the cave, and there's multiple rival battles as you're going through that. And there were a couple times where I was like, man, I'm getting through this stuff, but I'm running out of power points for some of my attacks.
Sure.
What the fuck's going on here? It just feels
a wild time.
It's so bad. Some of the early fights, trainers are using super potions and healing up their Pokemon, like just normal trainers. And some trainers would have like teams of six. And you're like, God, this is just taking forever. What are you doing? And then later fights, it's like, oh, everybody's only got two Pokemon, and everybody just stopped healing their Pokemon at some point. And there's no consistency. It's strange. It makes
dogs and cats living together.
Yeah, it makes me, as I'm playing this, think about, oh, I could design a Pokemon game better than this, right? I could,
right.
You know, you come up with your type stuff, and we talked about it in a recent episode of Stadium Brats that you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that at the end of the show as well. About how it sucks kind of when you have to put every single Pokemon in the game, because that's the expectation. And then, you know, Game Freaks even had those issues with Scarlet and Violet, where they said like, hey guys, we gotta stop. We gotta slow this down. But I'm thinking like, yeah, like if I made my own Pokemon game, right, I'd limit it to like 150 of these fuckers, and I get to pick which 150 would go in, and I get to pick where they'd show up in the routes. And I think that would be really interesting. I don't have the coding skills to do that, obviously, so it's never going to happen. But I do think it was really interesting going through and playing this game. And I've got 7 of the 8 badges so far, and it seems like awesome. There's a lot of extra bullshit after the gym stuff too. There's a new team called Team Steam. They're fine. Them. It's interesting. It's interesting to go through. Also, the move lists are really bad. Like all the learn sets for Pokemon are pretty terrible. And I was trying to look up where some of them are coming from, because this is a ROM hack that is made for, it's a hack of Fire Red. So it's Gen 3 look. It's a GBA look, sure. But it's called Light Platinum. It's bringing in Pokemon from Gen 4, which is on the DS. It's bringing in from later games, but it's also not bringing in the learn sets from later games. So I found in the Safari Zone, I found a Jinx, I found a Smoochum that turned into a Jinx.
Sure.
I was like,
sure.
Okay, great, cool. Psychic and Ice. That'll be a nice Pokemon to have. I don't use Jinx at all, so it would be kind of cool to use a Jinx, despite how problematic it is. And so I got it, and I was like, okay, great. I got Confusion. I got Powder Snow. I got a couple decent moves on this thing. You know, at some point I'll get Psychic and Ice Punch or Ice Beam, and this thing will be a real killer. And then it's like at level 45, and it still only knows Confusion Jesus. And Powder Snow because it just never learned better moves in those slots. And you go, how? This person, whoever made this, put so much effort into making a brand new world. All the routes are different. All the cities are different. A brand new story, throwing in all these scripted events with all these rivals, and a whole new bad guy team. And they didn't think, like, hey, maybe I should make sure that the Pokemon learn sets aren't fucking trash.
Dude, it's so weird what people will index in on. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So, not my favorite ROM hack by far.
Yeah.
There are definitely ones that I would choose over this one. If somebody like you were to play one, if it came up on some sort of wheel.
If we're lucky,
I might have a different idea of which ROM hack to play. But so far, it's also just it's Pokemon. So, you know,
right.
even though it's a slow grind, I'm getting through it. And it still is an interesting thought experiment to see. Totally. Oh, that's not what I would do, or I would do it this way instead. So that's been all right. And then really quickly, I've been playing another game. I played it today. I think I've played it before as well. It's called Sandtrix, and it's an itch.io game. I think there's actually.
Oh, you have talked about this.
Have I talked about this one specifically?
I think so.
Okay. I know I've talked about like some itch Tetris games before.
Yeah. This is the one that I told you about.
Did you?
I sent you a gift for it, and you're like, this looks crazy. Yeah, we absolutely have. Okay. This was something I sent you. It's been a few months ago, I think, at this point.
Okay. Well, an update. It's cool. It
looks awesome.
Hard. Like, the basic idea is it's Tetris, but as soon as the blocks hit the
You're not 13 years old. That's why it's hard.
Fair enough. Yeah. Hey, I didn't see the kill screen on this one.
No.
But as soon as the blocks hit the bottom, they stop being blocks and they just turn into sand. And then the physics happen and it
looks like something you would make at Six Flags.
Absolutely. Totally.
That sand art from the 90s.
But the idea here is that each of the blocks have different colors. So even though the shapes don't matter anymore, you're trying to line up colors to go from the left side of the screen to the right side of the screen.
Totally.
And once it does that, anything that is touching of that color will all disappear at once. And so my first game, I played a little bit. I went, yeah, I just don't understand how some of this stuff can stack up in a way. Like there's like once you're a couple layers deep and like there's just no way to get back down to that. It's like you're just screwed. And so I ended up with like 10,000 the first time. I was like, I'm just not very good at this. And I played one more time just to be like, let's see what happens. And it just clicked. Nice. I saw the Matrix. It was like beautiful mind stuff was Sand flying Matrix. Around my face. Yes, like the Animatrix, sure.
Yes.
But I had the beautiful mind shit going around me. And I was like, oh, wow. And I hit like a combo. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Am I good? Am I broken at this game?
You got good.
I guess so. I mean, I'm playing on the easy setting, but I ended up with 95,000 on that run, which is a lot better than my original 10,000.
Fuck yeah. So, that's awesome, man.
People should try that. It's free on itch. It can play in your browser. I think there is
it's really cool looking
full version that you can download or maybe even buy. I think it's actually on Steam as well. You could buy and play it on Steam. But it's cool. People should try it.
Fuck yeah.
It's a good time.
Sandtrix.
Mm-hmm. Sandtrix. You
Hell yeah.
On the screen. It's down here.
Down here for those who are watching.
Type that into itch.
Awesome. Well, Chase, I've got a bunch of stuff I've been playing, but today I'm going to bring two of those to your attention. One of which you've seen a little bit of. The other one, I don't think you've seen anything of. And that game is called Ready or Not. This came out of early access on December 13 into 1.0. It is made by Void Interactive. This game is fucking wild. It is a realistic take on high intensity situations. You are, it's a very tactical SWAT police unit video game. And you are showing up to situations with active shooters or bomb threats. And it is a PvE video game. You are, you can play with co-op online with people, which I think sounds fucking awesome. But they have a really smart AI team that goes with you. And
it's kind of, this kind of seems like a reverse Payday.
It's like reverse Payday meets Rainbow Six for sure.
Okay. Yeah.
So all the weapons feel very authentic to what they are. Like it is, like it's not even a sprint. This is a slow moving. But what's awesome about how you can command things is you have a blue, a yellow, and a red team. Blue team is two people. Red team is two people. And your gold team is everyone together. And as you're interacting with this, you can assign the teams to do some really fucking cool stuff while you're out there. Like, hey, I want you to line up and split the door. All right, we're going to open this door with a flash or with a kick. And we're going to flash blank and clear. You can spam a button basically saying get down and the environment will interact with you. So sometimes people might be complying, but they actually are the suspect and they're going to try and attack you while you're going in on them. So there's really cool shit with that. This, it reminds me a lot of Hitman in the settings that it has, because it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the nightclub and I got to deal with an active shooter there. And I mean, it's very intense. Like you can only get hit a few times and you're dealing outside of the mission with the psychological safety of your team and people who are basically, if you go through a really intense de-escalation and maybe somebody takes a clipping to the shoulder or something, they're going to be fucking out of it mentally. And you got to like deal with that.
Wow, interesting. So like they're throwing like some dark dungeon kind of shit.
Yes. Too. Yes, absolutely. But the gunplay feels phenomenal. You can do the peek around the corners. They have this tool. The name is slipping me, but it's basically a camera that you put under the door. Like you hold it. It looks like a shoehorn. Yeah, like
the little snakey worm one.
Yep. And so I love like going up to doors and like peeking in there to deciding like what I want to do. But the cool thing about the teams are if I'm not operating as one unit, I can say, okay, blue team stack on that door. Red team go here. Red team, you're putting C4 on the door. You're going in quiet, blue team. So when we distract them, you clear out the back room. And then there's some like checkbox mission structure where it's like, hey, you can't kill this guy. You have to arrest him because there's a guy running like a server farm in this apartment complex. Mm-hmm. But it's easy to fail, like very easy to fail. And if I end up going into it and I fuck up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it again. Well, the level changes slightly. So, hey, the door that you went in that was unlocked and open is now barricaded. So you need to find a different approach in. And maybe there was somebody who was hostile here. Maybe there's somebody who was kind. It's really fucking neat how they're doing it. I think it's a hell of a thing. I would love to play it with other people. $40, I think is, or $40 or $50, $50. And it is sitting at very positive over 100,000 reviews on Steam. People were really into it.
You know, I don't know when it happened, but there was a time somewhere in a Call of Duty. I think the last one I played was, well, I played the one that had Jon Snow in it. Was that Future?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever the hell was. Yes. But like one of the Black Ops a while ago, like maybe the first Black Ops is where I kind of stopped playing Call of Duty. And I think just something was like, modern military stuff is not my thing anymore. But hearing about the more tactical stuff that you can throw in there, I never played Rainbow Six. Like Rainbow Six Vegas, I remember being a big deal and people talking about a lot. But I think that tactical extra part of it sounds kind of interesting. There's another shooter. It's not really a shooter. It's more of a tactic game. It came out on the original Xbox. It was called Full Spectrum Warrior. Do you remember?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's cool. It is just like a four-person tactical game. I'm looking here on Steam, and it's currently 75% off. It's $2.50.
It's a bargain.
Now it was made in 2004. It's got mixed reviews. I'm not saying go out and play this game. It's great, but the idea it kind of does sound a little bit like what you're talking about, where you have this squad, you can split them up into different teams, you can separate them out. You've got like a guy who's a sniper and he's gonna do sniper stuff. You got the assault guy and he does assault guy stuff. And man, it just hearing you talk about this game made me think, man, I should go back and play Full Spectrum Warrior someday. But this game sounds pretty cool. I would like to see this game in action.
One of the things I really like is when you set your team out, you can basically hold down the T key on the keyboard and you get a picture in picture of their camera. So I can be holding back and I can watch another team and see what they find.
Sure.
The other thing too is I love how this game is just brutal in the fact that it will teach you the importance of checking your corners and going into rooms, because we cleared an entire room and you'll know a room's clear because either you will drop a glow stick or your team will. So when I'm in there, I'm like, okay, this room's, it's safe. Mm-hmm. But there was a closet that we didn't check. And I was in a room and we had taken down everybody because you had to go up and apprehend them and all that. And I got my fucking head blown off because we did not check our corners. And I was just doing my shit because you have to also mark evidence. And when that all happened, the guy came out and just lit me up.
So hang on. Are you the one who's making the call of this room is clear, or does something automate to say?
So it depends. Like I could run point and I could be like, hey all, like, and I'll say I've checked it out, this is clear, drop my glow stick. And then the AI will react to that. Or I line them up. I'm like, hey, go in this room and clear it. And then they will absolutely do that. They'll say, hey, dropping, clear.
So could they make mistakes to not look at that?
Oh yeah.
The closet.
Yeah dude. Okay. Like I've watched my guys walk into a situation where we were in a gas station being during an active, or I'm sorry, what was there was a heist at a gas station. Mm-hmm. Guy walks in, everything's clear. He's going down the aisles like you would have a gas station. A guy pops around and shoots him. You know, like shit happens. It's very easy to see it. But everything I've read, like it gets really cool when you record. Like if you are doing this right and playing with a friend, it is apparently awesome because then you're all kind of going around and coordinating your shots and that stuff.
Sounds rad. Like there is part of like when you play, not a game I play, but you will understand. Like mm-hmm. Resident Evil 2, where you've got like the safe area that you can get to, or Left 4 Dead, where you get to the safe house, safe room, and then you before you move on to the next area. There is something that's a little too video gamey sometimes, or is like, oh well, this is the designated safe area, nothing bad will ever happen in this square. So hearing that you can make the call, or even your team can make the call, and it be wrong, and you have to like it never lets up on the tension, even when you feel like you've cleared a room, that sounds pretty cool.
The other thing I like is a nice little touch. I know that this is like a very tactical term that I don't know the name for, but your character has like a phone basically mounted to their chest that has a pull down. And so I can quickly pull that down and it has my mission objectives on it. And then you can hold down the button and it goes full screen. But if I'm like, hey, what was I trying to do here? Oh, there's a hidden objective to look for a server farm. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm kind of in an area. I thought that's what it was. And then it gives you a nice green check on your screen when you do it. So it's a very neat way to do those things. I unlocked, I didn't talk about this. You build out entire loadouts. It's very much down to like, I'm putting this muzzle on this gun. I want it to have a red dot. I want a flashlight on it, a laser. You're putting on different armor plates for your character. It's very fucking cool.
Nice. It's
very fucking cool. Yeah. The other thing that we tried to play on Monday, and I figured out what was wrong, by the way. I did some dumb shit. That's another conversation. We got the stream working. On Monday, we tried to check out Cobalt Core. This game came out on November 8th. It is made by Rocket Rat Games. It was put out by Brace Yourself Games, who they've made quite a bit of shit that we like, I think. This game will set you back $20, currently on sale for $16.99. This is at an overwhelmingly positive on Steam. If you are into a deck builder, and if you are into one like Slay the Spire, and if you're into, I don't know, FTL as well, this game is
brace yourself. Yeah, they're the...
they've made a ton of shit that we like, right?
Cadence of Hyrule, Phantom Brigade, mm-hmm. Industries of Titan. I remember you liked that.
Yeah.
Rift of the Necrodancer, Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Oh, yeah.
They're a publisher, right?
Yeah, publisher.
Yeah,
they put out some really cool shit.
They find some good things.
So this game is awesome. You are in a spaceship. It is a deck builder, run-based video game, and it all is about shields, movement and attack. And you are having to dance, so to speak, with ships that are outfitted with, you know, 4 to 6 cannons. And the cannons are moving on kind of a, it's almost like a, I don't want to call it a note road or anything like that, but like, how would you kind of explain those lanes?
I mean, it's top down.
Yeah.
And you have, you do have lanes. I wouldn't necessarily call them like note roads, like you said, but yeah, there are lanes. Like, I don't know how many there are, maybe 10.
It depends on the ship.
Okay. It can depend, but let's say there's like 10
and
your ship takes up like 4 of them and the other ship takes up maybe 5 of them. And then they've got laser cannons on different parts, and you've got cannons. Maybe you have like one cannon in the middle. So you're kind of playing like a little bit of Space Invaders, except it's turn-based, and the turns are based on cards.
Yeah, that's
Very
fair.
It's fair. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, this is. I've been playing a lot of it outside of that stream, and I got to tell you, man, like this is. It's really been since Monster Train, since a. game like this has really been like, this is one that you need to pay close fucking attention to.
It's tough for these to break through. We talk about it all the time, but we've certainly played some cool ones. We just played a cool one recently, the junk one, the
Zetzillions, which Zetzillions, is in a playtest right now. That's coming out this year.
Totally. In a playtest, we did do a quick look of that playtest that's going to go up somewhat soon.
Yeah.
But we the band one, the
oh yeah, that one,
rock,
yep, it was, hang on, I had it on my list to talk about last year as the best debut. Mm-hmm. That came out early in the year,
like that
power chord,
thank you. Like that was a pretty cool game, but even when these games are cool, Every time somebody makes another one, you're like, you have to stack it up against. That.
I can play this.
Yeah, I go. And are you going to stop playing Monster Train to play this? And it's like, I don't know.
The Zetzillions and this one both have been like, all right, people aren't fucking around. Like they're serious.
It does seem like people are doing cool stuff with the genre still. And
I think fucking rad. Like,
seem pretty neat. This one was also on sale.
It's on sale and on the Switch. I don't know if it's on. Is it Switch and PC only? I think, is that right?
I think it was out on everything. I think it's out on everything.
I don't see why it wouldn't be.
No, this just says Switch and PC.
Okay.
But maybe other consoles soon. I put it on my wish list. I wasn't ready to pick it up quite yet because I've got other stuff to play. Maybe it'll go on sale again, but it does seem like a pretty rad one of these.
Yeah, and I haven't even unlocked other ships or other characters. Who the fuck knows? I mean, I think that we play Monster Train with some pretty late in game classes most of the time anymore. So maybe there's something weird that unlocks with that. There's even like you unlock a ship by not running with the original crew. Like that's there's like a whole thing like, hey, don't take any of these people with you. So I'm in it, man. I'm invested. I can't wait to see where it goes. It plays fine with the controller. We did that on stream the other night. I had some weird resolution setting stuff with it, but all in all, that game's, again, there's been a few that we've ran into post game of the year. I'm like, I really wish I could have talked about Thirsty Suitors or this in game of the year in some way.
Well, man, now you've got something for your best non-2024 game.
All there
to talk about, yeah.
But let's talk about those 2024 games, shall we?
We shall. But before that, we got to talk about last month, right?
Do we have to?
December. I mean, not really. It's a new year. We already did our game of the year stuff. Anything that showed up, we could have talked about that. But let's talk about these. We kind of built a new, or Bob, sorry, not we. Bobby built a new setup for our notes. And it's going to be great, but for this one,
it was a little awkward.
It's pulling in a bunch of stuff that we don't want. So I could be wrong on some of these. Let's see. Johnny had Steamworld build, which
I don't think he played. No,
of course he didn't. He's Johnny. Come on.
Yeah, I don't think he played.
You played, and you
played a lot of it. Steamworld. I love that game.
Yeah. Speaking of Bobby, you had Steamworld build on your list, so there it is again.
Hell yeah.
Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader was also December.
Game is fucking awesome.
Yeah. Seems like you like that one quite a bit. And then I know we joke, but you somehow like this Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
It's good. It's better than it has any right to be.
Would it be better if it wasn't an Avatar game?
Oh yeah,
if you just took all the mechanics and didn't have any.
If this would have been a new, like not even Far Cry, but an alien, like you made an alien race video game and just been like, hey, here's what it is. I think they could have. I mean, this game is doing really well for them. I think there'll be more of these, but I could give two shits that I am a Navi or Avatar. It does nothing for me here. If anything, it holds this game back 100%. Same way that Hogwarts Legacy held back that really good RPG.
I was totally going to bring that up as well. Where, you know, sometimes you just have a thing that is either, you know, in Hogwarts' case, maybe a little bit toxic, or even just something people aren't into, and that's more the Avatar.
I mean, dude, everything I've heard about Hogwarts is that is a incredibly sound RPG, but
people who play it seem to like it.
But yeah, and Avatar
just don't want to, and I totally get that.
100%.
But it is a shame that, you know, it feels like there was a time where, you know, licensed games were all garbage. And the license was the only thing holding it up. And in these cases that we just talked about, it's the opposite, which is really weird. It's like, hey, we made a really great game, but people aren't playing it because of the license.
Yeah. It's very fucking odd. Crazy. Fucking crazy.
So that was you. And then for me, I just said cram it for game of the year, which I did. I finished Cocoon.
You did it.
I finished Toussaint. And I think I played a couple other things that got me to Game of the Year time. So I'm glad I just kind of skipped December 2023 entirely and
fuck it.
Played some games and a lot of Toussaint and Cocoon both made my top 10. I think Toussaint was like number 5 or something. So like
things way up there.
Very, very good that I did that instead. So I'm pretty happy with my choice. Now let's move on to 2024 and let's talk about some of the free shit.
You know, I like the free stuff.
Free stuff is nice. So we'll start with PlayStation Plus. We're just doing the essential. We don't do the extra or premium or
none of that bullshit. Garbage.
I didn't buy that extra shit cause I think it's dumb. And, if you care about that, go look it up yourself.
Yeah.
But for the essential, we got a handful of PS5 games here. We've got a Plague Tale Requiem. I think that's the second.
That's the game. That's the sequel. The newest one that got really good reviews. I played a little bit of it. It's very pretty.
That's the one that has like a bunch of rats in it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen for me. I can appreciate it, but I cannot play it. Evil West is both for PS4 and PS5. Is this like the B game
kind of
one that was rad?
That's
what was that one?
Some Hard West.
No, Hard West was the turn based RPG.
Oh yeah. What was that one? Western
Too many game Wests.
2022. Evil West we're talking about.
I don't remember Evil West. I thought there was one we did a quick look on where it was like a third person behind the back over the shoulder kind of
game. Oh yeah, we did. I'm just trying to remember. Like,
is that not Evil West?
It's not, but you know where I could find this? Hang on. Let me go into our archive here.
Yeah. Find our Best of the West category.
Yeah. Best of the West last year. Let me come down here to Game of the Year 2022. That would have been, that was a day 2 award, I believe.
I think Evil West is the one I'm thinking of.
I don't think you're right.
I'm looking at screenshots right now and I'm going, I remember Bobby playing this game and like doing minecart shit.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Evil West is that one. You're right. What was the one I'm thinking of?
Weird West. That's Weird the one West. You're thinking of.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Damn it. Too many. This is why we had a category Best of the West.
Yeah. You got to stop naming games all the same. It's we're dealing with the Outer Wilds
Best Western
again.
That's what you're doing. That's the place.
There you go. Yes.
But you like what you saw here.
You have to play. You have to play Evil West in a Best Western.
They'll leave the light on for you
in California, so you can be the most West possible. I thought this looked cool. You played it. I just watched the quick look, but I thought it was a really cool
big Xbox 360 energy.
Yeah, exactly. That and that's kind of what I mean by a B game. Like it is not taking out all the stops on how it looks or how it plays, but it just is kind of good. It's kind of good everywhere. Man.
And
we don't get those kinds of games that often these days.
No.
So I think that's cool. And now you can play it for free if you have PlayStation Plus Essential. You can also play Nobody Saves the World. I
liked that game a whole lot.
Tell me about that game. I don't.
That's remember. The one where your character, you basically unlocked other skill types. You were like a little white blob, but you could turn into other things. And so rather than like having weapons you would equip, you would just have unlocks. It was, you're basically a little druid, but it had an awesome style. It looked like a clay game, if you remember that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it apparently has co-op, which never tried, but heard it was awesome.
Sure. I can see that working.
Yeah.
And then finally, Warframe, the Cyrenix.
Real sickos now.
collection. It also says exclusive PlayStation Plus pack. Did you write that in? Do you know what that means?
I think it's just you can only get that collection on PlayStation Plus.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
We say it not all the time on the show, but we say it quite often to each other. Like, We should try Warframe, man.
And they've got that new other like kind of medieval souls like set in this universe coming that looks really fucking cool. Yeah.
Bobby, I will tell you this. It is January 3rd. Yes. Mm-hmm. Still. Mm-hmm. I'm Destiny clean so far.
When's the last time you played?
Before Christmas.
You don't really have a reason to play right now.
The only reason I have is that I can still go and grind a couple of weapons that I'm looking for. But yeah, you're right. I can kind of just chill. I've even slowed down on watching Destiny YouTube videos. Like I'm not saying this is Warframe's time to shine. I'm not ready to switch to Warframe, but
well,
I'm living clean so far.
Why don't you download? Because I don't have PlayStation Plus anymore. Why don't you download and at least get that thing?
I think I already have Warframe downloaded in some form, but yes, having this extra pack of shit. Yeah, why not? I mean, I always grab everything on PlayStation Plus anyway.
Yeah, I do that with the Epic Games
Store. Unless it's a game I know that I'm going to hate and just don't want it to dirty up my library. But I'll totally add Evil West and Nobody Saves the World and Warframe to my thing.
All worth checking out.
A Plague Tale, I will probably not because I'm not going to do
it. It's neat.
I'm not saying the game's bad. I'm saying I can't play it.
No rats.
No rats over here. That's everything for PlayStation Plus. Bobby, I'm going to throw it over to you to talk about Game Pass.
There's a lot happening on Game Pass, some of which just happened today.
Some good, some bad. There are definitely some things leaving Game Pass too that we'll talk about.
But yeah,
a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming. Close to the Sun is out as of this episode. That seems to be like a walking sim. It's an older game, I think 2020, but like horror walking sim. Hell Let Loose. We talked about that on the show. That thing looks bonkers. That's like a World War II, like very tough as nails World War II high risk big group battles on that.
Okay.
One. Looks fucking cool. So I might be checking that one out.
Oh, I do remember people
saying
that now.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla, my least favorite out of the most three.
Really?
That was my least favorite one out of those. Okay. I would do, if we're calling that like its own trilogy, I would go 2-1-3 on my enjoyment.
Odyssey, Origin, Valhalla.
Yep. Another game I've been curious about that I've heard is one of the better co-op experiences. I actually thought about it for you and I is Figment. That comes out on January 9th. That's been out for a bit. It looks really cool.
I think I remember this one. Figment game. Maybe not. Maybe I don't know what
this is. It's got a style to it.
Okay. I don't know what this is. I'm thinking of a different thing. But
another game that you could play with a friend, I think, is Super Mega Baseball 4.
You could. You absolutely
And that comes
could.
Out on January 11th.
Yeah, that was on deep discount on Switch as well. I almost considered it. The Super Mega Baseball games are great. I think 3 is the one I picked up. I picked up 2 and 3, and I honestly had a great time with both of them. It's gotten to the point, though, where unless they make some incredible changes, it's hard to justify buying another one because I think the last one just is fine. 4 is where they said, hey, we brought in some real players. They brought in some classic players and also some newer Hall of Fame players. I think like the newest they've got is David Ortiz, who is retired, but you know, they've got some newer guys. They've got like Babe Ruth and stuff. So,
oh yeah, new guy.
We're still not to the point of full rosters of current day players, which I think is probably what I would need to get back into that series. But hey, that's a nice step. And if you haven't played one of those games before, this is a totally. I like the way they do their baseball. I think their baseball.
I might check that out. Maybe I'll play a round of baseball for you one Monday night.
Yeah, go for it. That'd be great.
We Happy Few, that game, I think, launched on Game Pass, left Game Pass, and now is back on Game Pass. Yeah. But yeah, January 11th.
That was a real stinker when it came out, but then they did a bunch of work to it, right?
Yeah, apparently it's in a better state now. I never checked it out because of what you just said, but maybe coming back around, I'll download it and see what it's about.
I mean, I don't think it quite got the cyberpunk or the No Man's Sky treatment, but I do think it got worked on to a point where people were not hating on it anymore.
I bet you dollars to donuts Johnny will download this one because I don't think he played the remake. Maybe he did, but that Resident Evil 2 remake that really set the stage for what we've gotten from them. That's a big get for Game Pass. I think people will really enjoy having that. And then Those Who Remain, I'm not overly familiar with of what that is. But yeah, that comes out on January 16th. But Leaving, as you talked about, hey, you can only be on one. You can only be on one streaming service at a time, and Grand Theft Auto is saying, fuck you, we're going over here. I'm kidding. They've got all the other Grand Theft on Netflix. This game's came and went a few times. I think it will be back for sure. Yep. But Garden Story.
This is 5 specifically.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto 5's leaving. Garden Story, MotoGP 22, Persona 4 Golden, and Persona 3 Portable. Yeah, I am not too surprised because a game we'll talk about is next month. They've already got Persona 3 Remake coming day one to Game Pass.
Yeah, I get that. So Golden, I like Persona 4 Golden a lot. And Persona 3 Portable I played a little bit of, but I think I'm probably going to play that remake of 3 when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure.
4 Golden, that was a Vita game when it first came out. And yeah. I think playing that on a handheld is kind of the way to go. So, you know, might be better to just pick that up on the Switch or pick that up on a Steam Deck or something.
I've got it on Steam, but it's on my Ally. I get you there for sure.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, that's your stuff in Game Pass. A lot of stuff happening there.
Sounds good. Now, probably we've got one more little piece of business to do before we
start talking
about some January games. So we mentioned this on did we have like another episode after? What did we do? We did something where we talked about resolutions. Yeah,
that was our like right after Game of the Year.
Yeah. And one of those resolutions, I still said I was going to do Backlog Roulette this year. But we also said we wanted to do, so Bobby got an Analog Pocket. And Johnny has an Analog Pocket, and I have an Analog Pocket. So we thought, hey, we should.
We're all pockets.
We should do a pocket wheel. Because Bobby, this is a relatively new area for you. You had a Game Boy growing up. You played some games on it. But
briefly. You haven't basically really like 7th grade. No.
Yeah, you haven't really played the breadth and depth of.
Anything from 98 to 99 I played. Anything after that, did not play.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So what we did here, Johnny, Bobby, and I each added 5 games to a wheel.
Yes, we did.
We're going to spin that wheel, and we're going to do that once a quarter, I think. Yeah, I think once a quarter, because I still want to do Backlog Roulette. I'm not going to do 2 roulettes at the same month. So I think this month we're gonna do a backlog or do a pocket roulette wheel because January, not to give you a little spoiler here, a little quiet on the gaming front. So I think we can get away with having everybody in the crew play something. And then we'll figure out what we want to do with that. It's probably something we'll talk about on the show a little bit of how the game is going. I have another podcast that has been dormant called Gamers on the Go, which is about handheld video games. So maybe that would be a good opportunity to bring the boys on to that podcast and talk about the game there when we finish it. We'll see exactly what we want to do with it. But for now, this is kind of just to help Bobby get a better education of some handheld video games. You added five that you want to talk about why you added some of the five that you did, like what your motivation was.
I mean, there's been
games you heard about before.
It's games I think would be fun for us and games I've heard about. Sure. So I've got some gaps in my resume, for these, like things I've heard about, but never really played. And I want to have a specific reason to pick up this thing and play it. And so that's where we're at. That's what we got going on. And that's why I picked.
Look at what you fucking
did. I know.
Is this one you put on?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll work. I have not played Final Fantasy Tactics Advance before. I take that back. I've played the first chapter, which is a snowball fight. It is different from Final Fantasy Tactics. It's a different story. It's a different world. It might be a different world. Looks like we're going to be playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. This might be a long game. I don't know. We might not finish it. But we have a few months, I guess, before we have to spin this wheel again. So we've got some time. That'll be fun. Yeah. So you put some games that you'd heard about. Johnny put some games that are kind of classics and some of his favorites. And then I kind of tried to fill out the list with some interesting stuff. I think I did put Pokemon ROM hack on there because I'm one, Bobby has at least played all the Pokemon games, so we couldn't just do a mainline Pokemon game. And two, I'm a degenerate, so I needed to throw something degenerate on there. But I like this. This is good. And I have not played this game, like I said, so it'll be some nice education for me as well. That's cool. I'm excited.
I don't know what's going to happen with this episode, by the way, but apparently we're having some issues. We're dropping frames apparently on stream, so I'm keeping an eye on that right now. Hopefully we'll get through this part, but there could be some issues, so we'll see how it goes.
Well, fingers crossed. I know Final Fantasy Tactics Advance though was the game pick, so that'll definitely happen.
We've got that much.
All right, Bobby, without further ado, let's move into some monthly releases. First, very quickly, we don't have a trailer for it because we don't do that for games that are just kind of getting reshown. But on the 11th, Laika Agent Through Blood is getting ported to the Nintendo Switch. That is a 2023 game.
It rules.
You wrote on here, this game rules. So I believe this game rules.
Yeah, that game fucking rules. It's awesome. Cool Metroidvania. Check it out.
Yeah, I know we're not showing the trailer here, but the trailer is pretty cool. Go give that a shot and take a look at it. And I might need to play that game because it does.
Yes, look good. You should.
Moving on to the 12th, we have Crystal Story Dawn of Dusk, which is coming to the PC only. This thing's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect here with this.
Yeah, it's got a real cool look, at least, where it feels like it's taking from a lot of different 16-bit stuff. You know, it starts with this kind of overworld thing in the trailer that reminds me a lot of, like, some Super Nintendo Final Fantasy kind of games.
It's got style.
It's got some top-down Zelda dungeon-y looking stuff. It's got some first-person Earthbound style fights. It seems like it's trying to pull from some of the better 16-bit games of all time, and even 8-bit and 16-bit games. And so, you know, that might be one to try. Is the trailer having issues, or am I seeing? Okay, I don't know.
It should be playing. It's just this is going to be hard for you and I because it's very delayed right now.
Yeah, fair enough. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. I think that one looks interesting. So we might have to check that out in some form or fashion.
What I would say is I'll have you just kind of go through it. I'll try and have the trailer match you with this because I don't know if you're trying to watch it to talk about shit, if that's going to work out well.
Yeah, no, totally fair. And good for me that I rewatch some of these trailers before the podcast, so I'm at least not in the dark on these things. All right, next on the 18th, Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, coming to Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Every time we see this game, we're impressed.
I can't wait. And I have Ubisoft Plus or Connect, whatever they're calling it nowadays. So I am going to get this day one for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a Metroidvania game, and I'm not usually a Metroidvania guy. I'm also not really a Prince of Persia guy. I've played the second reboot, which there's like original Prince of Persia, like the really, really old one. And then there's Sands of Time and Two Kings, three games, something like that.
Yeah.
Something about Kings, whatever that trilogy is. I don't remember what the trilogy is called. And then they made another reboot that was like, you had like a red and blue turban slash scarf going on, and you had like a ghost girl that was with you. And I thought that game was pretty cool. I played that one and liked that a decent amount. But that's the only Prince of Persia game I've ever played. So when they moved on to other things and they just kind of dropped the series entirely, it was like, okay, whatever. But then they showed this. Where did they show this even? Is this a...
It was like a Summer Games Fest or something, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
I think that's right. And, you know, I think the platforming stuff looks fine. But it was really once they started showing the combat and showing the way that the combos were working and the blink skills that you have. And, like, just some of that stuff looked really interesting. And the way you use some of those same skills in the puzzle solving of the Metroidvania... It seems kind of impressive.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool version of what they're doing with it. I know I'll speak for Johnny. I think we all have this as something high on our radar to check out. It looks too good.
Definitely. On the 19th, another code Recollection is coming to the Nintendo Switch. Some might say Recollection because this is a collection of another code and second game. I can't remember what the second game is. So another code was a 2005 DS game, and then the sequel was on the Wii in 2009. I remember seeing these games and thinking that the art style was kind of nice. It's got a cool anime aesthetic, but these are just not my kinds of games. Like this is closer to that kind of Phoenix Wright style novel mystery. Puzzle solving stuff. Now, I did play Famicom Detective Club, the remake of that one, last year of the first one, and ended up really liking that. So who knows? Maybe I would end up liking another code if I gave that a shot. But both games now are on this collection here for the Switch, and I still think they look nice.
Sure. You know, they got a good look to them.
Good. Like the girl's looking for her father on this island and solving the mystery of what's going on there. And there's a little ghost boy that's shows up and is helping her, or she's helping him. I don't know. Probably not something I'll end up picking up. I think if I did pick up one of these kinds of games, I would probably try Phoenix Wright because that is such a beloved people franchise. Love that. I would want to try one of those first, but I mean, I like Professor Layton and stuff like that. So I'm not opposed to this genre exactly, but this one's not quite doing it for me, but I still really like the art. Yeah. Also on the 19th, The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered coming to PS5. Bobby, take it away. This is your account.
Totally. So I think these remasters from Naughty Dog are getting a little out of hand. This one, however, they're introducing.
I mean, you remember when The Last of Us Part 2 came out and just looked like dog shit. So it really needed a remaster.
They have a whole new mode, though, that sounds fucking rad. It's called No Return. And in that mode, they've turned it into a roguelike. You can pick any character, not any character, but most of the characters that are non-playable in the game are now playable. They are letting you get power-ups. There's some things I saw that, like, anytime you melee attack somebody, they get set on fire, like really cool shit that you can get on your run. So there's going to be perks that you can pick up for both healing and for your items. The combat of 2 was phenomenal. It's always had a brutality to it that feels really good. There's a weight to it. I think what they're trying to do here looks pretty impressive. So it's $10 if you had the PS4 version of the game, because they have put out, I think it's $10 regardless of what version of the game, because they've put out a update for the PS5 that did something with resolution. I think it made it true 4K instead of upskilled, but upscaled. This one here, $10 if you have it. Otherwise, I think this is just now the definitive version of the game that you buy.
Sure.
So $10, I'll check it out.
Nice. On the 24th of January, Enshrouded is coming to PC, and Bobby, you also are the Enshrouded guy here, so I'll let you talk about this one.
Yeah, this is probably like my most anticipated thing coming out this year right now.
Damn, that's the rest of your year is going to be pretty boring. If
well,
this was out of the way early.
I know, man. This game's going to be hitting early access, so I don't know how much of it I'll be playing. Even though there's a ton to it, this is a fuller. I don't want to say fuller featured, but a very more. It's more dense than Valheim. With combat and aesthetic, but it's very much that you can build an entire city if you choose to do so, and it's all
it's like a Fortnite. I see.
Kinda, I guess. No, not at all. But it is still doing kind of that fantasy. It looks like there's going to be more classes. Like you'll have archers, you'll have more knights. It looks to be like I have not played a ton of that. But you can play with a group of people. You can go down, up, in, however you want to go. Like you can craft quite a bit here. So it is all the sicko stuff, but some actually like pretty competent. Like they're showing it off in the trailer right now, like a glider backpack. They have really cool combat mechanics in it. It's going to be fucking awesome. I cannot wait to see what this is. And I feel like I am going to become a very shitty person as soon as this game comes out, because this is all I'm going to want to do.
You know, I mean, yes, this is definitely a game for sickos, and it looks competent. You're my favorite competent sicko, Bobby.
Yes.
I'm always saying this.
There it is. So yeah, I cannot wait for this, but it's going to be fucking awesome.
All right. Yep. I can't say I'm looking forward to hearing you talk about it, but
you know, you will.
I will hear you talk about it.
Oh, you will. That's a promise.
On the 26th, we are getting Tekken 8. They've made eight Tekkens. That's not including the tag teams. So there's a lot of Tekken out there.
A lot of Tekken.
Coming to PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. You know, Bobby, I know we're not the fighting game guys. Johnny would need to be here for that.
No, Johnny plays one fighting game.
He's played more than one fighting game. He just likes.
Mister, I'm gonna get fighting controls. Hasn't even played the new Mortal Kombat yet.
I don't know how he feels on 3D fighters though. He's more of a 2D guy with the ones that
he only plays and stuff he thinks he can win
as well. Have you played any 3D fighting games?
Yeah, for sure. I've played Tekken. I've played what was the one with Vader in it? The time
Soul Calibur.
I played a lot of Soul Calibur back in the day.
I think Soul Calibur's kind of the high water mark. I don't know, people really like Tekken.
People like really Tekken a whole lot.
They've thrown some new characters here in Tekken 8 that people are pretty excited about. This is not a popular opinion. I've always been more of a Dead or Alive guy, and it's not because of the jiggling boots. Dead or Alive 3 and Halo were the first games I had from Xbox, and I thought they looked incredible, and I liked the counter system that they had in that, and so I just ended up being more of a Dead or Alive guy, which then they destroyed with Dead or Alive 5. I think that game just kind of is not what I want from it. But Tekken's always been interesting. I think they've got some really cool characters. I like King. I like Mokujin. People get thrown into volcanoes. Tekken's kind of cool.
Tekken's got style, no doubt.
And they've gotten some good guest characters in the past too. They had Noctis from Final Fantasy 15.
That's true.
They had Geese Howard from Garou, Mark of the Wolves. There's some good stuff there, so I am kind of interested to see at least who they'll throw.
It's got a fan base for sure.
It definitely does. I think Tekken's got some cool stuff. Also, pretty fun to watch at Evo. I remember watching Tekken 7 Evo streams and thinking, damn, there's something to this. This is pretty cool. I'm not just here for Dragon Ball and Street Fighter. This one also is pretty neat to watch. And then we will finish off the month on the 26th with Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is coming to PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and PC.
All the things.
Well, not the Switch.
Yeah.
So all the things that matter, as Bobby would say.
Yes.
This is a direct sequel to the 2020 Yakuza Like a Dragon. They have now completely switched from calling it Yakuza to Like a Dragon, which is what it's called in Japan. kind of like a Biohazard Resident Evil thing as well, but they're still calling it Resident Evil, but they've switched over to Like a Dragon. It's a direct sequel to the 2021, which means this one is also turn-based. We've gotten some Like a Dragon games since then that have been more of the classic Yakuza style beat 'em ups. But this one you are playing as Ichiban again, but also Kazuma Kiryu. I've not played a whole lot of Yakuza games. He's here too, so yeah. you kind of play with both of these main characters, and first game was pretty cool. I felt bad I didn't get all that far into it, but I had a really good time.
When I was
playing it, and I've always found the Yakuza series to be interesting, or now the Like a Dragon series, and I think I kind of want to go back to maybe Yakuza Zero and kind of try to start from the start someday. Or maybe I should just play Lost Judgment, which also seems pretty cool. And that's kind of like a side thing that's not really in with the Yakuza guys, but it is in the Yakuza style. I'm always considering playing this series at some point, and maybe I will. But Infinite Wealth seems like it's going to be kind of cool. And if you liked Yakuza Like a Dragon, this is certainly in the same vein. So people should check that out. All right, Bobby, that was the month. Your picks? What do you think are going to be good games games that you're interested in or games that people should check out?
Shrouded's going to be a game that is massive in the year. I think that's going to be one of the biggest games that people. I think that's going to have Valheim power. That's how big it's going to get. Sure. Prince of Persia is going to be really fun. I can't wait to check that out. And then I am going to try The Last of Us Part 2 remaster, that specific mode they got coming out.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you?
As for me, I think it's just Prince of Persia. I think that game looks really cool. This is still kind of a chill month for me. I'm kind of
funny stuff
relaxing and playing some backlog stuff. I've got Final Fantasy Tactics Advance to play, which that'll be exciting. I'm fine probably just playing Prince of Persia and calling it a day. But I do think there are some other interesting things here. I think if it gets really good reviews, I'll check out that Crystal Story Dawn of Dusk. I think
it's got a cool look to it.
There's a lot of games that try to pull from that era of video games. And some of them are really good, and some of them are not so good. Sometimes you'll get an Undertale, and other times you'll get 35 other games that just don't do it for you. So if this one blows up in a way, I could totally see myself playing it, but I don't know if it's something I'm going to jump into.
I get that for sure. Chase, I think our stream is really struggling. I apologize for that.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
We'll be back this week. Sorry, things are bad. We'll talk to you all soon.